And welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning. We'll be right back right after this song. Stay tuned, folks.
And fears. They move us through illusion and confusion of the mind, and by changing subtle meanings to the words between the lines. It's the news behind the news and the methods you can use. It's a blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols, learned elders of Zion. They'll tell you it's a forgery, they'll tell you it's a fake, that some anti-Semite wrote it for the money that he'd make. It's been slanderized and demonized, enabled racist hate by the same who stake a claim to its creation. Now I'm not here to try to argue if it's false or if it's true, if the author was a commie or the likes of you know who. What I'm really trying to tell you and to get across to you is it's a blueprint to the downfall of our nation. That's occurring in the land. There's a road to communism. There's a global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control their destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's the blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion.
Learned elders of Zion. Woo!
And we're back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, May 23rd, 2026. We welcome you out there, and we welcome you men here. I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Well, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you.
And good morning, Will.
Good morning.
And thanks for being here. Will, you want to start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Sure. Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful morning that you've given us. And, oh, God, we just thank you for, the privilege, Lord, to follow you and to serve you as our King. And, Lord, we pray that this broadcast will be uplifting to the remnant, Lord, and will be pleasing to your ears. And, Lord, we just pray for that Holy Spirit intervention, Lord, that what needs to be said will be said, and you will use us as your instruments. Thank you for these men. Lord, I pray for their families and for their well-being, and we thank you, Lord, for the freedom in this country to fellowship, and Lord, we ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, there's a lot of stuff happening again this week in the news, but let's start off where, Will? Abroad. Let's start off in Israel. What's been going on over there with this Gaza activity?
Tim, kind go
of
ahead.
Same, only worse. Kind of the same, only worse, right? Yeah. There was a.
Tim, you're a little low. I don't know if you can move the mic a little bit closer to you, or.
Let's try that. Is that a little better?
That's better.
Okay. Basically, they captured a boat. With some people who were coming over there to, render aid. Their word, activists, everybody, everybody's an activist. The guys who captured them are activists too, right? But it just depends on, as far as the Gaza-Israeli thing. We were talking about the fact that we haven't heard very much, but they captured the boat and basically made everybody put their foreheads on the ground for fear of their lives on the deck of the boat, and made fun of them, and these were out. I don't know, were they in territorial waters? I was having a little trouble with that. You guys know, in territorial waters, or were they in international waters?
I think it depends on who you ask.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's up to interpretation.
Okay. So no wonder I was having a little trouble. I mean, because it was part of it said, according to the quotes from the Israeli talking heads, it was like, well, they're approaching our territorial waters and we don't want them in there. So that sounds like they were detained in international waters, which, as far as I understand the definition of maritime law, that's basically kind of like piracy, right? I mean, but yeah. And because the prime minister said, quote, Israel has every right to prevent provocative flotillas of Hamas terrorist supporters from entering our territorial waters and reaching Gaza. That, to me, that sounds like a real situation there where we're looking at, talk about making up your own definitions and your own points of view. So I kind of have to wonder sometimes if that's not, I don't know. It's just more of the same, right? I mean, what's your take?
It does say, well, yeah, I know. The article that I was just looking at, again, says it was international waters. I'm not sure. Here's another one that says international waters. So I don't know.
There were some reports out of the Jewish media, you know, I think it was Harrods or one of those that was saying territorial waters. But even what you were just reading, Tim, you got to stop thinking about that. That's like saying you call me from Nebraska and say I'm coming to Texas, and you know, somewhere in Oklahoma, I send a missile at you because you're approaching my territory. You know, that just. What does approaching territorial waters mean? I mean, does that mean they control the entire ocean now, all the seas, that if somebody is sailing in the general direction of Israel, that they can be considered a threat? And that sounds like a far-fetched, but I think when you hear these Israelis talking, that's what they're saying, is they can deem anybody anywhere at any time a threat and feel like they're justified.
Yep. Well, in essence, that's what they've done with Gaza. You know, it's like, well, it's our ground. We can do whatever we want. The line doesn't, I mean, it's right. Yeah. 6-1, well, half a dozen to the other.
It's what, yeah. It's what they've done with northern Syria and Lebanon as well. You know, that they arbitrarily make these lines and say this is now for settlers, you know, for Israeli settlers, and it's our land. And the next thing we know, you know, they're setting up the military, their military there, and they say anybody that gets close to here, even the local born population. So if you're a Syrian that was living in North Syria, if Israel shows up, they say, yeah, you can't be here. And if you come back to your homeland, you're a threat and we'll just kill you.
Yeah. Yeah. Your intent matters, or your thought matters. You know, if you think that way, well, then you're a target. I mean, or you're, yeah. So I think that's what we're seeing there. And they kind of, after all, they can't possibly be wrong. So. And I think we're seeing a enabling of that through American might and power and through different things. I mean, that ship, as far as I understand, it had like 40 different nationalities of people on there that were going over to help. And they're calling them activists, but I think it was an aid ship, wasn't it? They were simply...
It was carrying food, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I got. Food,
food
water,
and medical food. Supplies. That's what I heard too.
Now that may or may not be true. I don't know either. I mean, you know, but the point is we don't even got to wait and see. We'll just go grab it. And so, and then part of them are like, well, we treated them with respect, and this video, I guess the Italian government, they're filing. They're all filing complaints with these people, these different countries, France, you know, Canada, Turkey, so on and so forth. But
what good does that ever do? Yeah,
exactly. When has that done? Has that mattered at all? As a matter of fact, they smile and just say, it reminds me of that verse in the Bible where it says she wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wrong. You know, so it's, it's like,
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't have the name in front of me because the internet doesn't want to work here today. But was he a defense minister? There was a guy who actually boarded the ship and was filmed walking around, smiling and antagonizing these people that were on the ship. Some high level Israeli military guy. Am I right on that?
Yeah, it was like Ben Gavir or something like that, I think was his name. Or
sure.
Yeah. Yeah, he.
And he's the one that wanted him just imprisoned, I think, from what I understood.
Right. But going back to that statement from the Israelis, you know, that they were treated with dignity or whatever, that didn't look very dignified from the video footage and photos I saw.
No. No. As a matter of fact, it looked, I mean, I don't, you know, all those folks on there with their heads on the deck and everything else, and the one still frame out of there shows the IDF forces standing on the top of containers. Now, I don't know whether that's a legit picture of the ship or not, but it sure looks like a ship. But, you know, they're standing up there with firearms in full
sure.
military gear. So... to me, that looks like, that's dignity and respect. So more like naked force. So,
I think that is what Jewish dignity is. I think their definition of dignity is a lot different than what ours would be.
Yeah. It's us standing up here and you down there. That's dignity. Yeah. So
that's right.
We're right. You're wrong. They're talking about, I know about a week ago, the New York Times, which kind of seems like self-defeating, but published a report on alleged widespread sexual abuse of Palestinian detainees. And, of course, the Israelis immediately come out on the government level and denounce the piece as blood libel and pledge to sue the newspaper. So
Right.
Their claims and their outcries and everything about anybody saying anything against them always, it almost sounds like some kind of mob thing, you know, off of the television or whatever. It's like, oh, yeah. So can't say anything. No differences of opinion allowed here. So they've also been accused of using drones on these flotillas and stuff to disable larger vessels. Exactly how does a larger drone disable a exactly how does a drone disable a larger vessel? You know? It flies around and scares them off. I mean, that sounds like some weaponry, doesn't it? I mean, that's
sure enough.
Interesting stuff. I mean, and there's just a lot of things. And then when you consider the fact that anti-Christian attacks in Israel have really increased in the last year. I mean, not that there weren't any before, but there's places like the Rossing Center and stuff like that who monitor that kind of thing. This is the same thing only happening over there. They bring you in on a tour, but if you want to talk, your money's okay, but you're not allowed to talk to anybody or proselytize anybody or anything like that. I mean, does that kind of sound like, remember the old Soviet Union when you could go over there, but you didn't go off book or off tour? You know, they stick to the...
And you had people following you around constantly to make sure.
Yeah, that's kind of what this sounds like. Like the same bunch.
Right.
Maybe it is.
Well, a communist is a communist no matter where they're at. And I was going to make a comment there. I'll go ahead and make it. You know, that I just want to remind everybody there would be no communism if there wasn't the Jews.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure.
Jack Moore does a pretty good job of bringing that out.
Absolutely.
So they are not, they're not just synergistic, they're or similar, or they're the same. They say the number in 2024, the Rossing Center was reporting over there in Israel that, spitting was the most common expression of hostility. Of course, I think that happened to Christ a bunch too, but now there's again to be a lot more physical episodes of harassment, you know, pushing people down, hit people, different things like that. So it's kind of interesting that, they're not very tolerant. The whole world's supposed to be tolerant to them, but they're not. Very tolerant.
Tim, are you saying that Mike Huckabee is not telling the truth about
I'm pretty sure that in order to be a politician in today's age, that the application says something like, "Can you lie about everything in parentheses?" You know, yes or no. If you answer no, you're automatically off the docket.
I think that question is right underneath them. For the application to be a politician is, can you pledge your life, liberty, and personal fortune in support of the state of Israel?
I would agree. Yeah. This whole thing with running around and sucking after them is just absolutely, sickening. And like I say, I don't have any love for the Muslims either, but, obviously the Israelis don't have any love for anybody. It doesn't matter who it is except themselves.
And right.
Sure. They're an equal opportunity offender.
What's going on in Iran? It's been a little bit quieter this week, but the war that's not a war that is a war that maybe... I don't know. I guess they can't decide on what it is. I guess that's open to interpretation as well. But what do you guys know about what's going on there?
Well, have you heard much? I mean, it's been a little bit murky.
I have not. I didn't know if there was anything going on. I don't know. It's like I haven't heard them come out and declare that the war is over or anything like that. So, like,
lots of talk about attacking them again, and I know that I know that there was a trying to find it so I could actually. Well, anyways, we'll just. There was a.
I know.
Go ahead, Will.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, basically, the Iranians came out and said, hey, we're not giving up any enriched plutonium. You're not going to be allowed in here to take it out. And I have a side note here, but let's go ahead with this, and then I'll jump in on that kind of at a different time. But go ahead. Well, what do you got?
No, I was going to say, I know that the federal government, the United States government, has come out and said since this kicked off in February or whenever it was, that we've had 42 aircraft lost in this war. And my cynical nature tells me if they're telling us 42, it's probably more like 200.
Yeah. 242. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Wow.
So that's a lot more. I mean, you got to stop and think about, you know, that's expensive. 42 aircraft. Now, that's not missiles shot down. That's the things that fire the missiles. And there was a list that came out of the different aircraft that was associated with these 42, and all of them were expensive, you know, and those are not easily produced as far as, you know, they're not rolling off the assembly line as we speak kind of thing. And so I go back, Jason, you know, you were saying, what have we really heard? And I'm kind of the mindset that we probably haven't heard much because the news isn't good.
Maybe we're losing a war that we're really right. Not in a war, but we're in there and we're losing our butts.
Yeah, you have to wonder about that.
That's probably why they don't want us to believe it's a war right now, because if it's a war, you want to know who's winning. And if we kind of minimize it and kind of we want people to forget that it even happened because it didn't turn out all that great.
Which
that's a good point.
Exactly, be all that, which exactly wouldn't be all that strange over in that area, would it? Historically speaking, it's not like,
absolutely not.
Yeah, and there's no such thing as an aircraft in the military realm that costs $1 million. So yeah,
right. Reason,
I mean, the total investment in inventory, aircraft, spare parts, training for pilots, and everything. You're talking. Each one of those aircraft represent, you know, probably at the very least 80, 90 million or more. I mean, you know, I would say much more. And in the case of multi-crewed aircraft, you're talking tremendous amounts, like fueling aircraft and stuff like that. So I did think it was interesting kind of going along with what you guys mentioned on that was the Pentagon just came out here Thursday or Friday and said that the U.S. provided most of Israel's missile defense during the Iran war. And hundreds of our most advanced interceptors were fired to protect Israel from Iranian missiles during the first 5 weeks of the war. And the U.S. used 200 THAAD interceptors and over 100 SM-3 and SM-6 missiles in defense of Israel. By comparison, Israel only used 100 Arrow interceptors and 90 David Sling. So this is significant from the standpoint that probably their missiles that they say are theirs are ones that we gave them, we developed, or we paid for, or were built. But that's the reason, and we've talked about the fact that there was just this significant. It was a drawdown of defensive missiles and everything else in the United States, and it became concerned. And I kind of wondered if we're talking about the fact that nothing's been said. Maybe what if we're losing, or what? Is it such a thing as we just don't have anything left to throw at them anymore, or something? You know, it's like.
It very well could be, Jim. Very well could be. I know I miraculously just got internet back, so I may be able to contribute to this conversation now. But I know that the Supreme Leader of Iran one of the things that's been tossed around and being talked about is, you know, Trump wants the uranium that's supposedly still there, even though we were told, you know, when was it, you know, last year in 2025 when the first attack happened, I guess, from the United States on Iran, that the uranium was completely destroyed. Well, I guess it wasn't completely destroyed. Yeah. And now Trump and the United States, you know, that's what they're saying the mission is now. The mission is to remove the uranium. And if you remember a few weeks ago, the mission was regime change. So now it's this, they want the uranium. And
I think that was part of the New Deal whoever, that they were just trying to negotiate, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it was. Yeah. That's right, Jason. And the Ayatollah Mohtabah Khamenei came out this week and said, "No deal, absolutely not. We're not giving up any uranium. It will stay in Iran." So and I don't mean this. I'm not trying to be pro Iran or anything like that. But I will tell you, have you guys noticed that the Trump keeps kind of trying to make deals, and the Iranians just keep saying no thanks?
Right.
Yeah.
They're not agreeing to anything. And I think, you know, you guys know as well as I do, you know, we've all bought vehicles or horses or made a deal on this or that or whatever. And when you're in the position of power, when you're on top, you don't have to agree to anything. And that's kind of what it feels like, is Iran is holding the cards, and they're in the top position, and they're just kind of everything that's offered to them saying no thanks. We're not going to do that. And that sure seems to be the music that's on the sheet. They are calling the tune. It's not the United States calling the tune.
Well, and what else makes me think that maybe, well, that things aren't going the way that they were planned is I heard that Donald Trump left and did not attend his son's wedding because of problems with the war in Iran. And I don't know if that was the case or not, but he returned back to Washington and was supposedly trying to figure out a new deal to make with Iran. So that makes me wonder what in the heck happened that they're not telling us, because there's something there behind the curtain that is taking place that we don't know about.
Sure. Well, according to the U.S. intelligence community, this is via the Libertarian Institute, I think. Yeah. Says that Iran has over 70% of its pre-war launchers and missiles, and also that they've resumed drone production and they're rebuilding their military production at a, quote, surprising rate. So,
yes.
You know, when you look at that, doesn't sound like somebody who, and again, like you said, I'm not pro-Iran this, but I just mean, that doesn't sound like somebody's down and out. You know, like, oh, help us, you know. But the other thing about these people, again, like I said, our history in that area, Russia's history in that area, when we look at it, has not been stellar in its performance as far as making lasting total gains. We don't have the attractive efforts there, just don't happen. And these people, I honestly think these people would remain unbowed from the standpoint of this is their way of life. This is nothing unusual for them. This is not, you know, here if you had those kinds of missiles and wars and fighting going on and everything, it would be literally disillusioning to the general population.
But chaos.
This isn't anything. Yeah. This is situation normal over there. You know, I mean, it's like this all the time. No big deal.
I think this is a prime example. And, you know, I know we're talking about the Persian people now, but, you know, I know, Tim, you were alluding to maybe the Afghani people and the non-Arabs, because these people are not Arabs. These people are something other than that. But I'll even lump the Arabs into this as far as that region. What I think we have a tough time understanding in the Western Hemisphere is this. It is true. You know, they have warring tribes over there that they are ancestral hatred that goes back 1,000 years, that they hate, one tribe hates the other, but they hate us more. And they hated the Russians more, and they hated the British more. When the British was, you know, warring with Persia or the Afghan nation or whatever, and Russia and now the United States, you have to understand these people coalesce and they hate us more. This is not splitting the country. That is why, if you remember early on, it was, we were going to arm these handful of rebels within Iran, and there was going to be an overthrow of the nation. What happened to that? Where did that go? Why did that fail? And it failed because there's a greater common enemy to the Iranian people, and the way they view it is it's us. They don't want the United States or Britain or the Europeans, whatever the case may be, in their country. They don't want Israel in their country. And that's another big piece of this, is understand the United States, rightfully so, and I mean, I, you guys can rebuke me on this, but rightfully so, the United States is viewed as being in lockstep and tied to the state of Israel, and the Iranian people probably aren't viewing that very favorably. So, I think the exact opposite of what was expected to happen happened. There wasn't a popular uprising of rebels to overthrow the government. As a matter of fact, I think it was the opposite of that. I think your normal Iranian folks decided, we don't like being bombed, and we don't like being missiled, and we don't like the idea of an Israeli-sponsored invasion. You know, they saw what happened in Syria. They saw who was put into place there, and it was done by the United States and by Israel, and they're not going to allow that to happen in their country. And the same thing applies to Afghanistan. They may war with each other, but understand, if someone goes to war with them outside, they come together and they unite. And I think that's why we haven't seen any real movement there at all. And it's not going to be a, it's not going to be an easy task to try to overthrow Iran.
Yeah, and I think that's well said. Yeah, it's not like, well, when we finally repel this threat of America and Israel, that we'll just have total peace across the region. It's like, then we can go right back to fighting with each other, you know.
100%.
Yeah, no big deal. So,
and to put a finer point on that, something that's not, you know, you have to go to kind of some back channel sources to see this, but two groups or two nation states of people that have been at war for millennia. I mean, going back to the truly biblical times, has been Iraq and Iran. You know, these guys fought a 20-year war and a bloody war, and they don't really like each other. But guess who's helping Iran? Yeah. Iraq. Iraq is helping Iran currently. Some northern provinces of Iraq, you know, they're acting as supply routes, where the elements of the Iraqi military are securing roads in order to make sure that Iran is resupplied. And these people hate each other, but yep, those rebels, those military factions inside northern Iraq, well, they hate the United States just as much as Iran does. So you have your enemy coming together with you because there's a greater enemy, and those are the kind of geopolitics that we're not going to get fed on the 6 o'clock news that we need to understand, is there's winnable wars, and then there's protracted wars of attrition, and that's certainly what I think this is.
That's
a very good point.
Yeah. When you need new missiles and new aircraft, you got to get them blown up somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, I think they kind of don't want to get crossways with Iran, because they still how much oil do they actually transport through that Strait of Hormuz? It's a substantial amount, isn't it?
quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the eastern supply line to Australia, China, the South China Sea. I mean, that's where the majority of that goes through. And that's Russian, you know, it's not just Middle Eastern oil. A lot of that is the natural gas tankers that are coming out of Russia.
Yeah, yeah. There's, well, and that's pretty much where most of the BRICS oil comes from, too, is through the Strait of Hormuz, isn't it? I mean, that's the way I get it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I think this, as far as from the standpoint of American interests and Israeli interests, I think it's a money flow issue that still translates back to BRICS. There's major gold and silver moves going on in the market right now, and BRICS is involved in that. And the other thing is a side note to what we were just talking about is the fact that the war with the battles against the Russia and America from that area over there continues to go on. I mean, it's just like they're trying to, Germany's now, Germany's trying to deport Syrians, you know. So,
well, I know.
They got, what, 11,000
of them detained. Well, and I thought that was interesting. It's like, I thought they were still open arms and loving and accepting everybody in, but apparently not. I think it's really interesting the way that they stopped it, too. I mean, it's like, so you got Germany wanting to deport 11,000 Syrians, and then you've got Syria that says, well, their paperwork's not in order, and we're not reissuing their paperwork. So it's like, I mean, you look at that and back at the insanity, and it's like, well, then they can't do it legally. Okay, I don't know. I'm just going to read this small portion. But it says the Department of the Syrian Citizens, the deportation of Syrian citizens from Germany has been virtually paralyzed despite the political announcements made by Berlin in recent months. A key reason that is that Damascus has stopped issuing replacement travel documents for Syrian nationals facing deportation. So, I mean, what do you say? Oh, I lost my paper. I don't have my papers aren't in order, so you can't deport me back to my home country. I mean, you talk about insanity.
Go ahead, Tim. My way of thinking is they came into the country most of the time without any paperwork. You know what I'm saying? They simply illegally came in. That's why we don't call them immigrants. They're illegal immigrants or whatever, you know, illegal aliens. But you got to have paperwork to send them back. How does that work?
Yep.
That kind of...
They drop them off in lifeboats out there and say, here, guys, take them.
Yeah.
That's how they got there.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. That's what you're looking at is a matter of, and I mean, I'll throw this guy on you, but it's what we're talking about is matters of permission that we, and I'm talking about Jacob Israel, you know, are under that spell of these racial strangers work like us. So we say we didn't grant permission, so you have to go back. Please grant us permission to send these people back. And these Syrians are saying, what are you talking about? We never gave them permission to leave. Why would we give them permission to come back? You guys are the ones that operate under permissions. And so my point in saying that is, why are we thinking that a civilized immigration process is going to work with the uncivilized? They didn't ask permission to come. They didn't ask permission to stay. Why on earth are we trying to obtain permission to send them back?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and not to put too fine a point on it, but if they didn't ask to come and you didn't grant them permission to come, that's an invasion force. And
absolutely.
Throwing them back would, yeah, the whole thing is, it's ludicrous. And in the next breath, we're over there, they want to tell these countries how to run themselves, whether it's Venezuela, Cuba, you know, I mean, I'm speaking from the United States point of view, but it's like, well, we have sway and we're telling you how you're going to run your country, but would you give us permission to send these illegals back? You know, it's
right.
Like, the whole thing is, it's ludicrous. You know, it borders on.
Well, let me put this out there to you guys too. It was just a few weeks ago on this show on a Saturday, we were talking about, you know, this ISIS terrorist that the United States and Israel put in control of Syria. He went on record as saying those are strategic resources inside Europe. So why would he want those strategic resources back in Syria? And I'll go back and say, understand who propped this man up in Syria. It's the Mossad and it's the CIA. Why on earth would the Mossad and the CIA call the shot of giving permission to repatriate these strategic assets? So there's no way in the world that Syria is going to agree to take these people, because that is an invasion force that you rightfully spoke to, Tim, that is in mainland Germany. They are there for a reason. And they're there for a reason, and Bashar al-Assad was taken out for a reason, and this ISIS terrorist was put in for a reason, and it was this very reason that he is not going to allow the repatriation of these strategic assets from Europe. So, you know, this is one little news story that we're talking about of this kerfluffle between Merz, the German chancellor, and Syria, but it goes much deeper than that. This was all planned, and it was planned by our enemy. And the same thing's going to happen. I don't care if it's France or Spain. Well, it already happened in Spain, and the Spaniards have just decided they're going to keep them. Italy is the next, and Austria is facing the same issue, where they want to repatriate. They want to deport these invaders, and they can't find anywhere to deport them to.
Yeah, parachutes are cheap compared to something.
That's right.
I mean, it's like, I think that's what we're looking at. I mean, that's what it is. They're occupation forces, and they're being sent in. They're being set up, and whether it's the United States, whether it's the European Union, those countries over there. And, I mean, how come they're not going into the Ukraine? How come they're not going into, some of these other countries? So if you look at it with that type of eye, that's where you're at. You're seeing this. It's a move of infrastructure and assets into an area to destabilize, or eventually even military action may come about. So, he's not going to win back. Yeah, I mean, that falls right in line with the whole plan all along. And I think that even the EU was cooperating with that, but the problem is the people in those areas now, like Germany or like other parts of Europe, are rising up. I mean, look at the uprisings in France that you don't hear about. I mean, it's people are, they're majorly upset, and we're under attack militarily speaking, even though it's a PSYOP or not, but on different levels, food, infrastructure, water, economics, religious persecution within your own country. I mean, these things are going on. But it's amazing how many of the, you know, people who live in those countries are fighting back and rising up and saying, oh, no. So it's very encouraging to me to see people wake up, and I think we're seeing a mass awakening, and I think that this in Germany is a result. I don't know how many Syrian citizens are actually in Germany, but 11,000 is a fair number, right?
I bet the Germans don't know how many Syrians are inside Germany either, Tim. To be fair with you. You know, we've joked. Yeah. I'm going to make a little bit of a joke. I'm going to make a little bit of a joke during transition here, but we've joked. Jason has rightfully joked that, you know, we can just do a Syrian drop like Yellville does turkeys, right? We'll just, just drop them out of a plane. And kind of going back to the beginning of the show, you know, I was thinking what Germany should do is get a cargo ship, and they should fill it full of medical supplies, food, water, and Syrians, and point it toward the territorial direction of Israel and see what happens.
Yeah. Let's see how this plays out. Yeah, exactly. So this should be interesting.
What are you going to do now? You see what happens. So, anyways.
Well, and moving on over to Cuba. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. Well, no, that was exactly where I was going. Raul Castro, 94, 95, something like that. I don't remember how old he is. I know that he's now a wanted man. I know he's a wanted man by the United States government. He's been indicted and now is a persona non grata as far as the United States is concerned. So who thinks that this is going to be used as the excuse to invade Castro's Cuba?
I think it is. I think that's the only thing it can be. You wait this many years to indict the guy. The guy's 95 years old. They haven't heard anything from him hardly at all because apparently he got one foot in the grave. I don't know. It just, talk about smoke and mirrors.
Well, and don't we have a carrier group currently under sail?
We do.
To Cuban waters, I think, and there's all kinds of, and Cuba's basically, that's another, side effect or benefit, depending on your point of view, with the closing of the strait over there at Hormuz, that's where most of Cuba's oil comes from, is through that strait. So they're basically on the ropes as far as infrastructure goes. I'm not sure how great it was over there to begin with, but yeah. So. Yeah, it sounds to me like that's definitely, and we're back to this. I was thinking about the similarity this morning, actually, when I was looking things over. I was thinking about the similarity of all these land grabs the Israelis are doing over there, and then we're talking about doing Greenland and Cuba, and, you know, we went over to, Venezuela and grabbed Maduro, and it's like, it's kind of the same, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of similar. There's some similarities there that are strange. So,
I absolutely think there's similarities, Tim. And I think there's a couple thoughts that went through my head. You know, first off is, it goes back to, I like to talk about magician's tricks, but you know, when there's smoke and there's, loud music and there's a light show and, you know, it's very hard to pay attention to what's actually going on. And yeah. I think that's what a lot of this is. This is a full scale, magic show. And I mean that sincerely. Like I'm talking about sorcerers and magicians, you know, I'm talking about the magicians that we're warned about, you know, in scripture. And, I think when you have this going on in Venezuela, or like you were mentioning Greenland, Tim, or, Cuba now and fill in the blanks of whatever, you know, whether it's Gaza, Canada, Lebanon, yeah. Or Syria, or Ukraine, or Canada, right? We were gonna, you know, that's the 51st state. And all of this, it becomes so difficult because you don't know where the mole's going to pop up next. So you're trying to watch everything at one time and you can't. And I think that's what they want. I think that's the whole idea of wars and rumors of wars and staying in a state of turmoil internally. Where you're, you know, it's so easy to get filled with angst and dread and anxiety and all of the things that as believers we're not supposed to. You know, it's hard. It divides us and separates us from the calm of the Holy Spirit. And when we have all of these external things pushing against us, and I don't know what y'all's thoughts are on that, but recently, the last day or so, I've just been kind of trying to analyze it, and what I've come to is they're doing it to us again. You know, they're causing all of these things to happen, and in the attempt that we will not really slow down, we go before the throne of God in prayer and petition, asking the Holy Spirit to show us what we should be paying attention to instead of what they want us to pay attention to. And you know, this show with coffee and talking about these world events, we need to know about them. But what I really want people to realize is there's something greater going on here. And this is noise. And it's noise that we should pay attention to because it may affect us and the way we prepare for the future, because we should be prepared. We're called to endure to the end. You know, that we're told we will be saved if we endure to the end, and we need to endure to the end. That's what we're called to do. But I guess what I'm saying is we need to slow down and remember we serve a God that's in control, and we need to focus our hearts and our minds on that. And they're going to do what they've done since the beginning of time. And what we need to remember is Esau, Edom, he lives by the sword, and we know he's going to die by the sword. And I pray that we are all around to watch this. I think that would be a, you want to talk about a heck of a show. I think that would be a heck of a show.
Yeah. No doubt.
Sorry.
No, I'm glad. I want to. I appreciate that. All good, very good information. One thing I don't think we've ever talked about, and I want to talk about Castro just a little bit. So, and I looked, and I haven't been able to find out a whole lot of information on this, but I did. I've heard, and I had two people on two separate accounts tell me the story about Castro as a young man, and from what I understand, back in the day, that was kind of like an Epstein Island. It's where the rich people from Washington, D.C. used to go to Cuba and, you know, have their fancy boats and stuff down there. And from what I was told, Castro's sister was on one of those boats, and there was a lot of drugs involved, and one of the girls got killed, ended up missing. And Castro, as a very young man, came back and got some guys and basically started shooting up the boat and shot the boat up and burned it, and came back with and ended up basically, that's what he did, is he had a hatred for these people that were coming over and using these young girls as call girls, and was going to put a stop to it. Now, I haven't been able to, I don't even know, have you guys ever heard anything like that?
I have not. That's the first time I've heard that. Oh. I know pre-revolution, Cuba was on par with like Vegas as far as being Sin City. It was very much a casinos and cabarets and prostitution and debauchery. So yeah, I mean, I would go along with that 100%.
Yeah, I just don't know. I had two people that had told me that story, and Pastor Peters was one of them that he had told me about what he had heard. And he said, I don't know. He said, I think that there's been a lot of stuff that has happened over in Cuba that they don't tell us. And he said, I don't think that we know the whole story there. And I would agree with that. I just didn't know if there was anything that was widely known about that.
Well, I've always thought it was interesting, just in passing, that none of the other Latino countries really, I mean, Cuba has had since the 60s, you know, they've had this struggle economically, financially, people-wise, but it just, there's never any it just sits out there like a bump, you know. I mean, it's like, how does that work? They've been sanctioned, but it's kind of strange. I mean, it makes me think there's something more going on there than what meets the eye, as far as power play wise.
Well, we got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hey, Jason. It's Barbie.
Hey, Barbie. How are you?
Good. So, talking about the yacht in Cuba with the young ladies on them.
Yeah.
I happen to know kind of firsthand, because it was somebody very wealthy. I used to live down in Boca, and a lot of these guys had their yachts over in Del Rey and in the Boca Club and yada, yada, yada. And he had told me that they like to take the young ones out on the yacht, because when they get them out there, they had no place to run to. You know, you either jump off the boat or you, you know, get what they're going to give you. And one thing that came up, and I can't verify it, but it was pretty known among those guys that Obama was very infamous for his yachts going up to the Vineyard. And he said he was one of the worst, you know, that he knew about. But all down the East Coast, there were certain, they go like from Florida up to Martha's Vineyard, into Greenwich, Connecticut, there were stops where they put the kids on the boat. There's also another angle to that, where some of these guys had private train cars, and this one I know firsthand, because it was a retired Navy SEAL guy who had a train car, and I said, and I was young, and I said to my friend, I was like, oh, fix me up with that guy. And I was maybe 17, and I was, you know, kind of foxy back then. And he's like, Barbie, you're too old for these guys. They want them young. And I was like, what?
Jeez. Like,
I didn't get it, you know.
Right.
But now I get it. I was kind of raised in New York as, like, a debutante, and I was around all these psycho guys. Like, I lived 3 miles from the Bronfmans when that little girl got kidnapped, and all those rich guys lived up there, and they were weird, for sure, but I was very well protected by my family. So anyway, yeah, they're infamous for taking the little kids on the yacht, because they have no place to run to, you know.
Right.
And the other thing I wanted to make you all aware of was apparently Trump is going to get out there today at 4:30 for a big announcement. I pretty much don't listen to Trump because I can't stand them. I get such a crush in my spirit. I just, like, yell at the TV, you know, Antichrist, synagogue of Satan, go back to where you belong, you know, but apparently he is supposed to be making an announcement today.
Well, that'll be interesting, especially interesting.
And Iran's airspace has been closed since last night, so until I think Monday or Tuesday, so that might be an indication that there's something happening.
Yeah, well, we'll keep an eye on that. I appreciate the call.
Sure. And so I have an appointment to get my hip fixed, but it's not till August. But I'm on the move-up list, so I want to get in and out of there before they start their baloney. Also, I should bring this up. Apparently, Bill Gates has contracted, I can't remember if it's Moderna or one of those companies, already to make a vaccine for this strain of Ebola. And they did do one of those simulations again, so heads up that, you know, the scare is coming. Get the vaccine.
Yeah. Last one didn't work out quite so well for them, so they're trying it again.
Yeah, they didn't get rid of enough of us, but apparently it's another mRNA baloney Christian killing vaccine. So
Yeah, they hate our DNA so much that that's what they're trying to do, is they're trying to use these vaccines to manipulate it and to change it. I think it's just a weapon of warfare that they're trying to use against Jacob Israel.
Right. So that armor of God is important every day, y'all.
Yep. Amen.
Every day, yep.
Well, thanks for calling, Barbie.
Of course. So I just thought I'd give you a little insight into a couple of things I actually kind of know about.
Cool. I'm glad you did. I appreciate it.
Yeah, make me sick, but, you know, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power, I guess, but if you don't share it, you know, I just happen to, I don't know, my whole life I've been put in these positions to see things and be like, wow, why don't I have to know that, you know? But I guess this is why, so I can tell you all.
Well, we sure appreciate it.
Of course, and you guys be blessed, and I thank you for all the prayers, and just have a great weekend.
Yeah, and we'll be praying for you and your surgery and all of that for rapid recovery.
Yeah, it's not, he's given me August. I mean, I had to wait 8 weeks to get this Christian doctor because I'm very funny about who I let work on me, so. But I guess he's worth the wait. Hopefully they'll move me up so I don't have to have any exposure to this other stuff. But, yeah, no, it needs to get done. I saw the x-ray and I was like, wow, because I'm a board-certified massage therapist as my second career. And so I have a little bit of knowledge about some of the anatomy, and it has to get done because it's pretty. I waited 6 years through pain to go to a doctor.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't really care for the doctors, but this guy's cool, and he's a Christian, and I trust him, so, yeah.
Well, good deal.
So that's that. Yep.
All right, well, anyway, have a good weekend.
You too. Be blessed.
Thanks. Bye. Well, and the phone lines are open, 970-224-4203. Oh, it looks like we are time for a break. Let's see here. I didn't have a song ready. Let's do, oh, this is a good one. We'll be right back, folks, right after this song.
Marching into war with the cross.
we're back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the SFAWBN. Where would you guys like to go next?
Well, I think we ought to talk about this Ukrainian drone strike on Russia maybe real quick before we get closer to home. What do you guys
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. That was, well, and I went to a couple different places and looked at that news story. I mean, they came out, the UN says that they came out and said that there was six dead. Other reports say that there was 16, but then they turn around in the same article and say the UN, quote, this is a quote from the UN website, the UN does not have access to the area, which is under temporary Russian occupation, and cannot verify the details of the reported strike. But then they go on to say that there was six dead. And it's like, okay, well, either you can verify it or you can't verify it. But immediately go back to that there's been more than 3,400 children that have been injured in Ukraine since Russia's invasion in 2022. So you can, it's just obvious whose side they're on. And, you know, they want to act like they're giving you the facts when I don't think that they really are.
They don't have access to them. Yeah.
Or they're just lying.
Well, what is
Go ahead,
yeah,
Will.
There's that. No, what it felt like to me was, if you remember that all-girls school getting targeted in Iran, you know, this was a school dorm as well. And I've been trying to find, but I'm gonna lean towards the six dead or 16 dead or whatever the total is going to end up being children. And I think it's par for the course when you look at Zelensky and you look at the master that he serves and this deliberate targeting of children there. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and from reading through some of the stuff that I saw from the ages of 14 to 18, I think they were all children, all under 18, all over 14. And I'm pretty sure there's at least 16 of them dead, and it looks like there could be quite a few more.
Yeah. And, you know, the reasoning behind that was the fact that supposedly it was a drone operations center, but then they turn around and say, well, they were training people to run drones. Well, in this day and age, there's many kinds of drones. I mean, learning to run drones is like learning to drive a car, you know.
Or play a video game, or, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
So it's not necessarily, but the other thing is they did what they called a double tap, or actually a triple tap strike, what I've seen. They attacked it in two waves. The videos coming out of there that I've seen on the damage, I don't know about you guys, but I was like, wow, that's a lot of damage for a drone strike. I mean, it was more like
absolutely
a missile strike. So, but the thing that interested me about it was the fact that there was no military presence there. And in the Russian, on the 23rd, they were trying to get, they're actually trying to get people to come in now, like CNN or, you know, different correspondents. RT's been in there, which is Russian Times, but the BBC today declined to send a reporter to the site at all. And the foreign ministry, the Russian foreign ministry spokesperson, Maria Zakharova, said that CNN is on vacation. You know, so it's obvious that they don't want any exposure to that. I mean, it's like, well, and so sad. I mean, it was a school.
The updated death toll is 18. I just pulled that off of Sky News Australia. And
that's what RT News confirmed that as well.
Okay. That's tragic, man. Anyone who has children are, you know, as a human being, as far as I'm concerned, I think, intentional targeting of whatever it is, you know, if you know children are there, those are war crimes. As far as I'm concerned, those are not legitimate targets. You know, we know, our enemy, and we know what they do and what they have done with the Palestinians. You know, we've talked about it here. And, I think those tactics, don't belong to our people. I don't think we do those things. I do believe they do those things. And I think it's evident here in what Ukraine has done in Russia.
Yeah, this isn't collateral damage. This is deliberate.
Absolutely.
Well, biblically, the age of accountability and the time that when you could go to war was 20. And, you're not supposed to go and attack those that aren't of age to go to war.
Well, their god Moloch is hungry, and they have to feed him, and this is how they do it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tim. I just saw some more pictures of this. This sure don't look like a drone strike to me. They got some really big, powerful drones, if that was a drone strike.
I was watching some video live of it and the craters that it created inside that building. I mean, that's ordnance. That's not a drone. I mean, that's ordnance is what that is.
And that's a concrete and block building. I mean, it's not like a wood frame structure, you know, so it's steel, concrete. That's a big boom. I mean, you know, you look at that and you go, wow, man, that's a lot of destruction.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, as I understand it, is they've already run a third attack since they've been trying to do cleanup efforts and rescue people trapped under the rubble and everything else. So they've attacked the area at some point within the way I understood it, within the last 12 hours again. So,
Doesn't that remind you of the stories of what has come out of Palestine and Gaza over the last 10, 15 years of they wound the children in the streets so that when the parents rush to help, they can kill three or four at one time?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would. Yeah, there's beyond similarity here. So, which should tell thinking minds something, you know, that the same group doing, or the same, the philosophy is definitely the same. So, it's just wanton destruction of uninvolved infrastructure, schools, hospitals, different things like that. They're easy targets, but they bring about further destruction. Like you said, you got rescuers in there trying to, So I feel like this is, it's a dastardly deed. That's what it leaves me frustrated beyond words.
Well, and I know this is kind of coming back closer to national news, but I thought it was interesting that Tulsi, she ends up putting her resignation in, and it was just about a week ago that she launched an investigation on the U.S.-funded biolabs in Ukraine. So, you know, it's kind of like, okay, because I was, like, looking forward to it. I'm like, what's going to come out of these? I want to hear more about these U.S.-funded biolabs that were in Ukraine. And because originally when that whole war broke out between Ukraine and Russia, that's what we were hearing, that Russia was going after and targeting biolabs in over there. So with this strange resignation, which, you know, I don't buy it that, you know, her husband might have cancer, but I don't think that was the reason behind her resignation. I think it's one of those things. We've seen a lot of people that have resigned lately or got fired because they start sticking their nose in some place that you know, maybe they're not supposed to be or not wanted.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of interesting how that works, because the minute you get into anything that might involve the Israeli issue or anything, why, you suddenly don't have a job anymore. You know, so to be the way they're working.
Which is, I will mention, because we've prayed for the man, and we've mentioned it often on the show. That's why I think it's miraculous that Robert Kennedy still has a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
and we should continue to pray for that man.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. And we've been praying for him here, and definitely very important. Yeah. And I've been praying, you know, that these deeds done in darkness, you know, be brought to light. And you know, I've just been praying for these dirty bastards to be exposed that are in office, that are, you know, the evil ones. And, you know, I tell the Lord that, you know, I don't know each and every one of them. I don't know who the bad ones are and who the good ones are. I've been deceived in the past and could be deceived in the future, and I could be deceived now. So just asking for that discernment, and also, you know, using the prayer filter and praying for these deeds of darkness to be brought to light. And I really believe that we're going to see it. I think that right now that there is, you know, a war against the truth. And that's what they're, that's the unseen war that's taking place right now.
Amen.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is sometimes when you see some of these things, it's like, well, look there, they threw everybody a bone so they don't get too worked up. You know, I mean, so, it's like, you know, but there's a lot of things that they don't want to talk about. They don't want to talk about Gaza. They don't want to talk about the Epstein files. They don't want to, you know, talk about the influence the Israeli lobbyist groups hold in the United States. You know, they don't want to talk about, yeah.
We just saw that, didn't we, with Tom Massie from Kentucky.
Thomas Massie, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. I mean, all that money that came in there against him, that was wild, wasn't it? Wow. So,
most expensive house race in U.S. history. What did AIPAC, what was the total? Was it 20 million?
It was 20, over 23, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that little Kentucky race. Yeah, that's something, isn't it?
Yeah, and 95% of it came from the Israeli lobbies.
Tuesday afternoon, you know, I guess the polls were coming in and it was showing what was going to happen, and Tom Massie and his normal self. And if you guys don't know a lot about Tom Massie, he's an interesting guy. He's a genius. I'll tell you that. He's a legit genius. But he addressed a group of supporters and said, if things don't go well tonight and I have to make a call to concede, I'm not sure how to do it because I don't know where to reach my opponent in Tel Aviv.
I know, and he's right. I'm dirty bastards.
And he's right. Yeah, you know, and so that's it's
sorry, I took a second to think in. Wow.
that was a time relief joke, Tim. I just think, you know, even in the end, going down, Tom Massie is still standing in the face of these Jewish power and influence and calling it like it is, and he's done that consistently. And that is a guy too. I don't know what his next step is, but he has been adamant in calling a spade a dirty shovel. That's for doggone sure.
Well, and wasn't he also? Didn't he also? I don't know. He author or sponsor a bill about registering AIPAC and others as wasn't that
foreign
was
agent.
That him? Yeah, as foreign agents.
Yep.
So yeah. That's the end of that bill, and oh yeah, he's gone. Gee, and taken out by the very money interest that he was trying to protect people from. What a coincidence! So yeah,
yep.
Except it's not. Very interesting. So, wow.
Did you talking about this? Did you guys see? And, you know, it's open for interpretation or whatever, but did you guys see the quote from Trump where he said he may run for the prime minister of Israel?
I did. Yeah.
What is that about, man?
Bragging about how popular he was over there because and that he could run for prime minister. Basically, they're trying to. Wow. Yeah.
I have lots of friends over there. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I have a question for is, and one of the questions that popped into my mind, does that mean he's a dual citizen? I mean, don't you
have to, you know, thought the same, Tim.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just a question I have. Wouldn't you have to be like a citizen or something to run for that particular office?
Well, I'm not sure that Netanyahu is either.
Well, very good point. Yeah. So, yeah. And I think it's Trump, you know, one of the quotes was, well, Trump says Netanyahu will do whatever I want him to do, but I think Netanyahu's sitting there going, Trump will do whatever I want him to do. So, you know, it's like, wow. It's such a, well, there's lots of words I could say, but they're not radio fit. But, yeah, exactly. What a mess. So,
and Trump came out.
Go ahead.
We'll finish this story, and then I want to talk about what Trump had to say on the about Lauren Boebert here in Colorado.
Okay. Well, no, all I was going to say is kind of speaking to what Tim was saying about being a citizen and that sort of thing. If I'm not wrong, and you guys can check me on this, I think if you are a practitioner of Judaism, you can claim citizenship in Israel, right?
That's true.
Like,
I'm pretty sure
like
that's
so he probably is a citizen.
Yeah. Right. And that was kind of my point, is no matter where you're really from in the world, as far as your nation of origin, the way the Israelis have viewed this is in the diaspora, if you are a practicing Judaite, then you're a citizen of Israel, that you can claim citizenship of Israel. So I just wanted to throw that out there for everybody to make up their own mind.
Yep.
So maybe he could be the prime minister. Who knows?
It's bizarre. It's like, yeah. So
what happened with Lauren Boebert? I haven't heard anything about her.
Well, she endorsed Massey and came out and supported him. And as soon as she did that, Trump tweeted, is anyone interested in running against the weak-minded Lauren Boebert in Colorado's 4th Congressional District? The president came out and he called her a carpetbagger and said there's anybody. He said she's the worst that we've ever had, and if there's anybody wanting to run against her, just sign up and I'll endorse you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was, I mean, it was pretty odd. It was pretty bad. Yeah, she moved from one area to another and got voted in again, and that's what he's saying. She was going to lose where she was in the original district, and so she had to find another district that would elect her.
But she's still a Coloradan.
I know, exactly, yeah.
That's a lot different than that that Victor Marks that's running for governor of Colorado. I don't even know where he's from. I can't even find a birthplace for him.
There's a lot of questions about him. I think Candace has done a pretty good job lately trying to figure it out, too.
Boy, howdy. I spent 15 minutes late last night trying to figure out where the dude was born. You know, and I started thinking, you know, I hear his accent and I recognize that accent and it doesn't really sound like he's from Colorado. And I know he's probably from the Southeast.
That's what I say, Southeast. Yep.
But I don't know where, depending on where you read and what the guy has said over the last 10 years, it's either Mississippi or Alabama or Louisiana, but I'm not real sure. But
I don't think he knows after watching some of his videos.
I think he's told so many doggone lies that he can't remember where he's told people and which people he told. I mean, that's my opinion. And Jason kind of turned me on to this yesterday. In the last 24 hours, this has been my pet project. And I get it. You know, there's areas of Colorado that's a bunch of dope smokers and all that kind of stuff. But y'all can do better than this as far as making a Republican candidate. For goodness sake. I mean, I get it. Republicans are just as bad as the Democrats, and all of them are liars. But this guy's like a pathological liar and a sociopath. I mean, that's I don't know. I don't know. Is the gay guy running for governor again on the Democrat side, or is there somebody new, Jason?
There's somebody new.
Okay, is he gay, or is she gay, or is it gay, or
I don't know.
Okay,
I have no idea.
I have a hard time believing this Marx guy is going to win.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think so either.
Sorry, I didn't want to go down. I just, that's too good to just, when you said carpetbagger, I was thinking, I'm pretty sure Lauren Boebert's from Colorado. You know, there's an endorsed governor that nobody even knows. I don't even know. Yeah. Right, he is a carpetbagger, and it's almost a Jewish thing. You know, like we've talked about, like Netanyahu, all of these Jews, they don't go by their real name, right? Like, so Netanyahu is actually like Milanovsky or whatever he is, Ukrainian name, like Ben-Gurion and all of these other names. This guy that's running for, I mean, do people of Colorado know that Marx isn't even his name?
Yeah.
Is that a known?
I don't think so.
Is that a known thing, Jason?
No, okay. It's not.
It's just crazy.
We do got a caller real quick. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hey, yes, sir.
How you doing this morning?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You're on the air?
I didn't realize you were on live call. I called to ask a question. I didn't realize you were already on live.
Oh, okay. Yep, we're on. You can call me back after we'll be done after the top of the hour.
All right, yeah, I'll do that. I appreciate it. Sorry for interrupting.
No problem. Have a good day. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. So we've got Michael Bennett on the Democratic side that's running for governor, and he's a U.S. senator. And we got Phil Weiser, who is currently the Colorado Attorney General, and I don't really care for him at all. He's running on a Democratic platform as well. And we've got a couple people that are running on the Republican side, but none of them are real promising. But like you said, there is so much stuff. The more you dig into this guy, the more, and he's got some, I saw some good stuff that came out on him. And then, I started getting stuff in the mail from him, signed up to follow him, and, started reading some of this stuff, and it just didn't seem right. And I started looking into it, and it's like something is not right about this guy. And, it's like, you start getting conflicting stories on where this guy came from, stuff that this guy's been through, interviews, people asking him questions, him not even wanting to answer the questions. And that's what really got me. It's like when asked a direct question, he would so often he defers and just wants to go to something completely off subject in a different time zone and talk about other things, and it's like he does not want to answer the question, which just really raised red flag for me. It's like, just answer the question. If you don't have anything to hide, answer the question.
Yeah,
100%.
He's got a lot of his answers are just extremely generic, yes sir, I'm a devoted husband, I couldn't find out. I mean, one of the things was, founding organizations that bring hope and healing and this guy. What were they?
I spent some time, and I'll send you guys offline what I found, but there is no doubt. So this guy ran a pseudo ministry, I guess you would say, is how I would characterize it.
it is 100% tied to the Jews. It is a Judeo-Christian 100% that they have received underwriting and funding from, like, Friends of Israel. And that can be directly tied back to John Hagee in San Antonio, Texas. And I don't know how much you guys know about John Hagee, but there's never been a bigger shill for the state of Israel than John Hagee. So, you know, this guy tells stories about being in Israel with the IDF and all of that. That may be the only thing that he's telling is true. I really don't know. But I'm a little bit – I'm scratching my head. I like Colorado, but that is that's crazy. I don't know if your choices are a guy running for a Republican that is a pathological, you know, liar and sociopath versus the gay guy. Like, I don't really know what you guys do. That is that's tough.
That's not a choice. Yeah, no doubt.
That's not a choice, man. That's that is something. But you know, I'm gonna go back. You're talking about straight answers. If you guys ask me, did you behead a kitten when you were 3 years old? I can answer that question. That's not something I got to think about. And for the people that are listening, they don't know what we're talking about. That is one of this guy's claims, right? That he was forced to behead a kitten or a cat when he was 3 years old. I think we could probably answer that definitively. That's a yes or no question. And he can't, apparently, you know, and I don't know. First off, who would lay claim to it? Why would you use that as a badge of honor? What are you gaining from that? Other than you're a sociopath, man. I don't even know who that resonates with. I don't know. I will go as far as this. I don't want to give this guy too much more time, but I think he's actually scary. Not like I'm afraid of him or anything, but he is scary because there are people that are following him. And I almost think that is evil. Like, it's some supernatural evil where people are getting behind him and following him. I don't believe he is not of the God that we serve. He claims to be. He claims to be, but I don't buy that.
That's, legit. Where does some comment come like that anyways? Who put that forward? You know, I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, that sounds like a kind of a red herring thing that diverts attention from other issues, maybe. But it's just weird to me. Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, Tim, you know what I'm talking about when I say building legends, right? Like, you're going to build a legend for yourself. And I feel like that's what a lot of this is, you know, is that he's gotten to where he's at. And we all, at some point in our life, we've come across some of these evangelists that travel around. And quite frankly, some of the things they talk about are far-fetched, right? I mean, they're second- and third-hand stories that they adopt for their own. And they do it for the theatrics of it, right? They're working the crowd up and into a froth in order to maximize an offering that night or whatever the case may be. And that is really what this guy struck me as. He struck me as a snake oil salesman evangelist that has made a lot of claims over the last 20 years when it comes to the things that he has seen and done and the human trafficking and all of these sort of things. And somehow he's been able to propel himself into a position of where he's a gubernatorial candidate and the chickens are coming to roost. And when there are people like Candace Owens and others that are questioning these outlandish claims that he has made, he doesn't really have an answer to them. You know, he tries to make it emotional and he tries to charge the interviewer with, I dare you ask me about these things and that sort of thing. And I go back to if I'm a prominent public figure that has gone on record that I killed a man when I was 7 years old
and watch the body be buried behind my family house, I think those are legitimate questions to be asked about, right? Like, I mean, that is such an outlandish thing. And folks, that is what this man is claiming. He is claiming that he was forced to murder a man when he was 7 years old. And I don't think that's off the table. If you're a candidate for governor, I think those are things you should have to explain. And he does a real bad job of explaining it. That's for doggone sure. And I'm going to ask you this, Tim. When I heard this, and I don't know what it means. It's just what my spirit tells me. If you say when you were 3 years old, you were exposed to a situation where you were forced to behead a cat, and when you were 7 years old, you were forced to murder a man, that feels very satanic.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Well, and it also...
You know, that's... Go ahead.
Yeah. To me, it just makes you think that... are you claiming people deflect... anything else? I mean, think about the refocalization of the rest of the. Well, that's wow. You know, I mean, we're not looking at this over here. We're just, oh, that poor guy. It brings out sympathy in others and everything else. When actually, it ought to be making you say, I wonder how compromised this individual is psychologically because of these terrible things.
Absolutely.
So somehow that never comes out, right? So.
And I think that was part of the questioning, because this guy has admitted, I don't know how much you've looked into it, Tim, but he's admitted on video of being bipolar and having homicidal and suicidal ideations.
Yeah. To me, that sounds like an individual you really want leading the country, you know, or leading your state. I mean, it's like, and it also kind of, when you listen to him talk, like Jason was saying, it reminds me of the old saying, admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations. You know, there's a total pivot and deflection of everything. I mean, you know, he talks a lot, but you don't really, he doesn't say anything.
He reminds me of a Southern evangelist huckster.
Yeah, the Salvation Show or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Right, absolutely. That's exactly what it feels like to me.
So, and the other thing I have for a question, of course, we got Tina Peters. Is when's she going to be released? Like June 1st? Is that
June 1st, I think. Yeah, I think it's June 1st.
Okay, so, but we've got that going on. But
let's go to the phone lines real quick. We'll just hold that thought. Hello, caller.
Okay. Good morning, man.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Jason. I have a few things. Have you read that after 100, almost 100 years, CBS Radio went off the air last night, Friday night?
I did see that.
Have you read about that?
I've seen some information on it about it. I can tell you, it just didn't leave a hole in anything that I do every day.
No way. But one of their main contributors that really got them from radio to television and all was Edward R. Murrow. And he transitioned from World War II reporting and setting up all the journalists in Europe, every European country and thing. And he was really the communist hunter, went after Joe McCarthy and so many others. But I really don't want to know what to make of him. And then there's been two more Ukrainian drone strikes that Breitbart's reporting last night. One was a Russian oil terminal. They're just getting longer and longer drone strikes from further and further away. And then Charter 97 out of Belarus, they they're reporting that Ukraine hit Metrofax chemical plant in Russia's Perm region, and they produce the products to supply all kinds of military facilities, aircraft, drone, rocket engines, and so forth. And the reason I brought it up is I don't see why Russia isn't doing any of these strikes, like clear over to Lviv on the Polish border. Could you understand why they're not responding to these things? Anybody?
No.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I just can't. I can't get it at all.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we were talking about that a couple weekends ago. That they show amazing restraint, I guess is the right word. I'm not sure if that's correct assumption on our part, but yeah. I mean, as far as responding to that stuff, though.
Yeah, yeah. I just, no more things around Kyiv or anywhere. It's just.
I did see, and one of the things I got through here, and I don't have it in front of me, but I did see that along one of the borders there, they were running nuclear drills on their mobile nuclear platforms. Russia was up and down. I think that was like Belarus or somewhere? I don't remember now. I can't think where I seen that or what it was, but there was some consternation over that in the European community because of the fact that they were out there, Russia was doing that. But I don't know what the significance of it is. I suppose, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it's a drill, and Belarus has one Arishnik missile, and it's like a medium range. They don't even know if it's nuclear. And they can handle, they can reach anywhere in Europe. That's their strength of theirs. Arishnik. And we have war games, you know, so why can't they? Just don't get that part either. And that announcement today at 4:30, people were questioning, will it be Cuba or Iran?
Yeah, and who knows? I guess that is the question.
And all the airspace in Iran is closed. It's all cleared. And the White House Deputy Chief of Staff is posting short clips of a B-2 stealth bomber. That's a war machine, right?
That's some posturing going on there, huh?
Yeah. And Massey's still in Congress for a while. I wonder if he'll be able to do anything.
I don't think he'll be able to do anything, Kevin, but I bet you he's going to open his mouth wider than he ever has.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, I want to mention, too, baseball's still playing the anti-Semitism, and they're claiming 2 out of 3 Jewish children are exposed to anti-Semitism. And then, lastly, I sent some information out to about the Cars for Kids.
Oh, yeah.
Organization. What do you think of that?
Power for the Course. Good information. But, yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's presented like, if you ever heard the jingle, you think, well, this is going to help children in the United States, right?
Yep.
And then all the money goes to the Israel to support Jewish children.
Kevin, you have to admit that Cars for Kids has a better ring to it than Cars for Kikes.
It's marketing. Yeah, no doubt.
It's all marketing, Kevin. It's all marketing.
It's true. That's really good, Will. I like it.
Well,
thank you again for your broadcast and all of them. I'll see you at church tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for calling, Kevin.
Welcome.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Tim, we'll go back to you. What were we talking about before we got the call?
That's a really good question. I'm having the same issue right now. I should have made a note, but. Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, Well, one of the things...
Oh, we're going to talk about Tina Peters getting released. I think that's where you were headed next.
Oh, yeah. And Colorado. Why is Colorado so much in the center, is in the center of the storm? I mean, is that not interesting? We talk about flyover country all the time, but Colorado's a special case. I mean, I feel like there's a lot, there's an array of battle going on there in Colorado that is unique. Anybody else notice that? That's where I was going with that. So, it's a very, it's almost like, well, we don't want to leave it totally in phase. Let's hit Colorado. It certainly is a crossroads of dissension there as far as, they definitely don't want any godly influence in that state, and they seem to, there's just a dearth of leadership there that is really amazing to me. I mean, it's like, wow. And anybody who does, which was where I came from, what brought Tina Peters to mind was somebody who would dare blow the whistle or say something mm-hmm. that's not right here automatically finds themselves in jail, you know, or in prison. So, I mean, there's no doubt in anybody's mind who looked that case over that was a vendetta issue. You know, I mean, that's all it was. And we all know who the capital of vendetta and, quote, blood libel, end quote, is. So, it's one of those kind of things. Speaking of some of that stuff that's going on over there, you know, did you guys see where DOJ, FBI, and HHS officials are announcing federal fraud charges for 15 Minnesota individuals?
No, I did not.
Yeah,
did they get the right ones this time?
Well, I mean, basically, the U.S. Attorney's Office, Colin McDonald, Assistant Attorney General, for the DOJ's National Fraud Enforcement Division, was announcing initial fraud indictments on the 21st, and he's calling this the first set of fraudsters operating in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And these are 15 individuals who are reportedly responsible for stealing or frauding $90 million, and they have over 3,300 investigations now open and ongoing in this Minnesota deal. And this is back to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. You know, he's kind of spearheaded this through the HHS, along with the U.S. Attorney General's office. But they said this isn't the end. This is just the beginning. But the numbers that they talk about in there are just, I mean, they're astounding. They're talking billions of dollars, and they haven't forensically audited it to the point yet. They said it's probably going to be more than that. So, you know, you know, it takes you back to, they're going back to Barack Obama and Eric Holder and Ken Walz and all these other things. And these people turned a blind eye to this stuff going on. And it's just like, this is not, he said, this isn't the end, it's just the beginning. That's what McDonald was saying, that there are many more individuals who are going to be brought up. So, and I hear the name drops at the federal levels and stuff, but of course, you know, high state levels, I'm just waiting to see them. Those guys are like Teflon, you know, they just seem like they don't do anything on them. So let's see if they're going to feed them to the justice machine at some point too. I mean, I think that, but it's pretty interesting because Minnesota had a housing stabilization services program for homeless residents, and originally in 2020 that started out at $2.5 million per year budget, but by 2024 it had ballooned to $104 million. But McDonald says that was entirely fraud that was being pumped into that. So, and they can find it. So I think that, you know, it's like the deeds that are done in darkness are going to be shouted from the rooftops. And it's like, well, amen. I hope that comes out. So,
amen.
Well, and it was just one scandal after another over there in Minnesota. what are they talking? I think 9 billion, is that the, was that the number that you guys were hearing? And I really don't even think like that they've got a clue, to tell you the truth, because I think this has been going on for a long time. But it's like, you know, they got the child nutritional scandal, then they had the autism clinic scandal, and I mean, they're just uncovering tons and tons of money. I watched when Tim Walz was getting questioned by Congress, and it was just it was amazing to me, and it's like, this guy trying to run for vice president? I mean, it's like, seriously? This guy's an idiot. He can't answer a question for nothing. I mean, it's just, and I know people out there that like him and thought he was a great guy, and I'm like, I don't see that.
No, well,
he answers questions about like the Republican candidate
Victor Marks. I know, that's what I thought. I thought, man, are these guys related or what?
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, they both make big fancy stories that are untrue. So, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, the Colin McDonald, he was talking about that $9 billion number, and one of the quotes he said was, I wouldn't be surprised if that number is not accurate or even small, or is accurate, I'm sorry, but it's probably small. So...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty wild when you think about the numbers of deception. And, you know, when they're so big, how'd they get so big? How'd nobody look into that? How'd nobody care? Oh, because a lot of people were you know, they were making money on it. That's why they didn't care.
That's right.
So how do you go into office and be worth $150,000 and in a year and a half or 2 years, you're suddenly worth $10 million. It's like, that's how. There you go, right there, probably. You know. So,
what you're describing too, Tim, I just want to throw this in there. I like to, in my mind, work things out that, you know, the tools of our enemy and the weapons of our enemy and that sort of thing is when they can make you complicit. You know, when they can take the honest man and it just takes one time, right? If you take one bite of the apple, you might as well eat the whole thing. And I think that's what happens with these elected officials is, you know, it may be a very simple payoff the first time, but once they got you, they got you. And I think you see a lot of good men that become corrupt very quickly. And it's usually through three things, right? It's more power, more money, or some sort of sexual sin, and that's how they get you. And if you look at what we've seen in these elected officials, it's always those things. It's always one of those three things that ends up being the scandal with these guys. And I think that's why you see the widespread corruption that you see is they're all bought off some way. And that is why you see guys going in that have a net worth of $150,000 and they come away with $150 million. Because once they get that first bite of the apple, they go ahead and eat the whole thing because you're already corrupt. You know, you've already been corrupted. You might as well go, the whole way. That is why you got guys like Tom Massey and ladies like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Jason, I'll even say Lauren Boebert. You know, I get it. You know, these guys are human beings and they have their own faults and problems. But the reason they're being attacked is because they're talking about not the corruption. They're talking about the corruptors. They're talking right. about those people that are buying and paying for the corruption.
Right.
And you can talk about Washington, D.C. corruption. Gosh knows that's talked about every election cycle for the last 50 or 60 years. We've been talking about how Washington, D.C. is a toilet that needs to be flushed, and no one cares. But when you start talking about the people who are the corruptors, then they care. And I think that's why we've seen Tom Massie go away. I think that's why we've seen Marjorie Taylor Greene go away. And probably Lauren Boebert now, is they can't have that. You can talk about the corruption. You can talk about the sin, but you can't talk about the people who are responsible for it.
Right, right.
That's very true. Yeah. That's very – well, and if you are an incorruptible – well, they'll just say you did it anyways, because who won't believe it, you know, given the state
Absolutely.
Of affairs in the world today. So, I mean, all they got to do is accuse you of something, and what are you going to say? Well, I didn't do it. Well, that's what everybody says. Every prisoner in jail says, I didn't do it. I mean, it's the same way with that. Even
right.
if you didn't do it, the accusation is enough to taint you. And that's another mode they use. I mean, I've seen some backwater stuff on Tom Massie, and I don't know whether it's true or not, but supposedly he took Jewish interest money and stuff in his campaigns and stuff. Is that true? I have no idea. I kind of doubt it, but they certainly are making those things, and that's just that taint, you know, that you see some of those kind of things, and it's like, well, that's what they do.
Yeah. Well, we've got about 3 minutes left. What do you want to close out with?
What do you got, Will?
Well, there is a little tiny church in Vail, North Carolina. I don't know what their theology is, but it seems like just good, honest Appalachian folks. And the little tiny church was meeting in a barn on a farm. I think they had 70 or 80 folks that would gather on a Sunday in fellowship, no denomination or anything like that. I'm not even sure if they had a real, like, seminary preacher. I think it was just normal folks like us having normal church the way God intended in the book of Acts. Well, the county came in and said, sorry, you can't have church in a barn because the electrical wiring inside the barn doesn't meet the county ordinances for a church. Now, I don't know what in the world the electrical wiring for a church is supposed to look like, but what I would say is if you have time and a busy schedule, pray for that little church in Vail, North Carolina, because the county shut them down. And I personally believe, guys, that if you want to have church in a barn or in a shed or wherever, I don't care for that matter, a old volunteer fire department, you should be allowed to. There's kind of a First Amendment, I think, it still exists, and the exercise of religion, the free expression, that sort of thing is guaranteed, and I'm not so sure a county should be able to tell you where you can have church or not. So those folks tomorrow will not be allowed to have church in this barn. And I think that's a travesty in this day and age and what's supposed to be a free country of America. So we should probably lift those good people up.
Absolutely. No, thanks for sharing that. Well, and with that, we are out of time. Thanks, man, for being here.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks, Remnant. We'll be back next week.